Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference. Today's conference is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I'll turn the call over to David Long. You may begin.
Thank you, Danielle. Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is BPM security. This session is scheduled to be an hour in length, but might extend to an hour and a half for the presentation and the Q&A period. If you have not yet joined the web conference, please do so now. The web conference address is available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange website. Today's webcast will include an online presentation, and once you are in the web conference, you will see the presentation. If you are unable to access the web conference at this time, please go to the WebSphere Technical Exchange website and click on today's presentation title. The document that displays will contain a PDF file of the presentation. You can also obtain a copy of the PDF file by visiting the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange program on Twitter at www.twitter.com/IBMWSTE. This call is being recorded, so you can replay it at your convenience. In the next day or two, the MP3 file, along with the presentation, will be available on the previous webcast tab of the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. At the end of today's session, the lines will open for a question and answer period. For those of you who joined us via the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat. Precedence will be given to questions asked through the phone, and if time permits, we will also address questions in the group chat. Today's presenters are Sridhar Edam and Damu Velaswamy. Sridhar has been a long-time support engineer for IBM BPM products and has a very good understanding of the architecture, design, and operational aspects of the BPM products. Damu has been working in WebSphere support team for several years. In this role, he is responsible for customer support for WebSphere adapters and Business Process Manager. He has a good understanding of Business Process Manager and its design. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Sridhar.
Hi all, this is Sridhar Edam. I'm a level 2 support engineer with the BPM support team. And welcome to the WSC presentation for BPM security. So let me go to slide number 4. Actually, let me go back to slide number 2 for our agenda. So today we'll talk a little bit of the overview of the BPM security, like in terms of the internal operational aspects and its components, and we have also split into two parts in the agenda. One is the authentication in terms of the who has access and the configurations and stuff. And authorization in terms of the users and groups, and which of these users and groups have access to the different components of the BPM suite. We will also talk a little bit about the common security considerations, and we'll have troubleshooting and Q&A. Moving on to slide number 3. Oh, so since David has already talked about this, and we'll skip on this one. Moving on to slide number 4. So this picture actually gives a little bit of the internal components the BPM security is involved with, and the different user interfaces of BPM that interact with the BPM security component here. So on the top we have three user interface components. The Tivoli LDAP server, the Tivoli LDAP, which is storing and managing the business users and groups. The second one is the WAS admin console, and the third is the process admin console, which is very specific to the BPM, group. So. Now, all these three components interact with BPM security, and the flow here actually shows how all these three are connected here. So, for example, the BPM database is also very much involved, as in it not just stores the internal users for BPM, but also it also has a lot of user references which are provided from the different security providers like the LDAP and other providers here. So the LDAP when it's plugged in, it's actually done through the WAS admin console. So in WAS admin console has two types of registry. One is the file registry and the federated registry, the VMM. And in our case, in this example, we are using the LDAP as our federated registry here. So, and the other user interface that the BPM uses, the process admin, it also whatever the users and groups that are created in the process admin are directly stored in the BPM database in the users tables here. So that's in some of the components, in some of the issues we see also is that the internal providers, since the database is a very integral component of BPM security, anything that's changed in the database any changes that are done in database might cause some of the problems that we see in terms of security. So moving on to slide number 5. So we talk about the default configuration here. So by default the BPM is configured with federated repositories, the VMM repositories, and this is also the recommended configuration. It also comes with the default configuration comes with an internal provider, internal security provider, the TLW security provider, which actually carries. Is the interface in WAS for the internal users for BPM that are inside the DB. Standard and that's exactly why we see in standalone servers we have two repositories in the BPM WAS admin console. One the fileways and the other is the internal provider. And the only difference in network deployment environments is that we only have one repository that we see. There's no internal provider here. So moving on to slide number 6. So talking a little bit on the typical configurations, this is seen in most of the customers. Most of the customers use an LDAP repository for their business users and groups and their directory structure. And in such case, usually it's not required to have an internal security provider that can be removed, since the business users already maintain in the LDAP and the different components of the BPM can directly work with the users and groups that are already existing in the LDAP. And the default users are BPM specific, and usually some users don't want them in the LDAP. In such cases, the file-based repository can be used instead. So when LDAP is down, the advantage of doing so would be is when the LDAP is down, admins can log into to the WAS and the BPM consoles here. So that's the basic typical configuration. Moving on to supported configurations, slide number 7. So usually with BPM, a standalone LDAP configuration is kind of discouraged in conjunction with many other things, like the federated repositories is very much encouraged. or one or more LDAP federated is also encouraged. Custom user registry is also used in as a supported configuration. Note also that some features in BPM require federated repositories, like the substitution in the task manager and user chooser in the business space. Moving on to slide number 8. So TVL LDAP is one of the most commonly used ones. So I kind of put a couple of slides here to show a very generic configuration that's done from the WAS admin console to connect to a Tivoli directory server to be able to access the users and groups that exist in a Tivoli LDAP. So the primary thing that this slide shows is that we need to select the directory type, the host name, and the port number. Usually, I mean, there are two types of ports here. One is the SSL-based and the other is the non-SSL-based, depending on the kind of directory, the LDAP configuration done, and the LDAP administrator can give you the port number here. And the other things that required are the bind distinguished name and the bind password. Moving on to slide number 9. Once we log into the WAS admin console, we can add the repositories there, and in this case, the LDAP repository, and also add the base entry to the RIAM. And then there are other filters that can be added once this is LDAP is done, and this is pretty much useful also. Because one of the issues that we see in terms of security is that when the server starts up, it tries to bring in all the LDAP users and groups. And if the filters are not properly specified, the BPM security component tries to be very aggressive to bring in all of the users and groups, which can slow down the server startup. That's one common issue. There is a setting in WinConfig where you can restrict the number of number of groups and stuff that that can be brought in. Filters within the LDAP would help a server startup as well. So moving on to slide number 10. Another common configuration with BPM that we have seen is with the HTTP server. Also, just before going into the server configuration, I just want to give a common configuration that we have seen. For a clustered setup, for a clustered process server setup, there is the they usually have like a two HTTP servers in front with a load balancer, and this basically is to limit the access to the internal servers to the external users. So if the HTTP servers are if the BPM servers are within the local network, HTTP servers can be on the outside of the DMZ, and then they can serve the URLs. So the typical configuration, just to not in a concise way, is to add the HTTP server, IBM HTTP server, to the WAS configuration, generate the web server plugin, and then we map the modules to point to add the HTTP server in the virtual host and stuff. And then there's one more configuration that is very specific to BPM, that is pointing all the URLs in the 100custom.xml to be able to point to the web server. This allows BPM server to understand that the routing is done. All the URL and the requests that are coming in are routed through the web server. So this 100custom.xml customization will help the BPM server to understand that it's going through the web server. One more point to be here to be noted is, in case of a load balancer, the URLs that are to be replaced in the 100custom.xml need mostly to be pointed to the load balancer. Usually the load balancer is HTTPS. It still doesn't make much difference, because usually when the load balancer sends requests back to the HTTP server, it terminates that SSL. So no other configuration needs to be done rather than just changing the 100custom.xml pointing to the load balancer URLs. So we are on slide 11, and I would like to, at this point, hand over to Damu for the next part of the presentation.
Thank you, Sridhar. Hello, everyone. So Sridhar covered the authentication topic, how to secure BPM servers and verify user logs onto the BPM application. Let's now turn our focus to the most feature-rich aspect of BPM security stack, which is authorization. Authorization is the process of ensuring users have permission to perform, given an act. There are a lot of confusions over the term groups and roles, as well like confusion on the LDAP group, VMM security group, and participant groups. So in this presentation, we'll spend time for each of these topics to get a good understanding. Groups are a collection of users, concrete instantiation. But the roles are just like a placeholder for users, but this will be populated at the runtime. So during development time, it is unknown, but populated later with either the users or groups. The LDAP vendor restrict number of users or groups written by the generic queries. For example, Microsoft Active Directory, this will return only the first 4,500 users or the groups. WebSphere application server security allows variety of users and group lists, which is collectively called the user registry. The most common entity within the user registry is like one or more LDAP servers. Sridhar covered in detail, but I just wanted to touch base a little bit to relate to the authorization topic. BPM also can utilize the standalone LDAP registry or federated user registry, which is comprised of one or more LDAP repositories. Again, the recommendation is use the LDAP repositories federated together within WebSphere user registry. Looking at the LDAP groups, each vendor or even certain extent LDAP administrators, they are given flexibility to define the branches. For example, the OU, organizational units, also the CN, common names. So regardless how they define, BPM product can access them in the same way. VMM security group, so this is WebSphere Virtual Member Manager. Each LDAP repositories are defined with different structure. So using VMM, multiple LDAPs can be federated together. So what is the benefit of it? So this gives unified view of all the users or groups in both LDAP repositories. So let's move on to slide 12. Okay, so process admin groups. There are three main tools for defining and administering the BPM installations. So integrator solution console, the screen we saw earlier, and the process admin console, and process center console. Creating and managing groups are done through the process admin. Process admin is the main admin application, which is used to identify which users and groups should have access to, you know, what processes within the BPM environment. By default, BPM ships with a few users, like a TW admin, TW author, and TW are all users. So each time when we restart the BPM server, it will compare the federated VMM security groups and you know, the groups defined in the BPM DB. So if there are any missing groups, then that will be copied onto the BPM DB. All those copied groups, all the groups will appear in the process admin. So in this screen, we see the LDAP IT. This is one of the examples that we brought in from the repository. The key thing is they are not editable nor add remove members. This is just to follow the normal practice of LDAP read-only access. Most of the LDAP, like, we get only the read-only access. So how to add a group? So in the process admin, we see the user management on the left pane. There's a group management option, and choose the new group, and we will be able to add a new group. These are the one which we add is a private group, at least I would call that way, because they are not visible upstream to either the WebSphere VMM or any repositories federated therein. The private groups can span VMM repositories. Also, the private groups support the nested groups. So that's a nutshell on the process admin groups. And in the next slide, we'll see how to use the users in the manageable groups. Let's move on to the next slide, please. Okay. The process designer is a BPM product which allows author to model their processes at the higher level. Business processes are graphically defined using a horizontal swim lanes to describe different classes of actors. And this is like a flow chart, like a diagram, to describe various processes steps. These swim lanes directly map to BPM concept called a participant group. So how do we create the participant group? Like we see in the slide, go to the properties, default lane participant group, and there we will be able to add new participant group. So in this example, we see hiring managers. Again, like we talked earlier, this is a placeholder, and the values or the details will be filled in runtime. So let's see how we map the roles to group, which is also called roles binding. In the process admin, navigate to the installed apps, and you know, there is an option given for role binding. When we do that, it gives a list of users and also groups for the BPD. There we will be able to add the participant groups, the users or groups. But there is one constraint, though. We only have LDAP and private user groups over there. We do not have anything belongs to or a group name called hiring manager, like we talk in this example. So for that, we need to create the new group called hiring managers. In the process admin, again, navigate to user management and group management. There you will be able to create a new group. So in this case, we will create a hiring manager over there. And to add users or groups, there will be option given, add members. Now we will be able to map the new group with the participant group, again in the role binding. Also, as seen in the screen sharing, like there will be always TW all users added to this members list. So we need to make sure we are removing that to have a precise security or access and add the newly created group here. All right. So let's move on to the next slide, process application access. So we saw BPM user access to certain predefined BPM process applications and also the tasks therein. This is only the half part of it on the authorization. Let's see like how to create those users. The users will be able to create the BPM process applications. When a user or a group first added to the process center, they most likely will not see any process applications. So adding the user to TW authors group, the default one, the user will be able to log into the process center and create a new process application. So non-admin user has access to process center, but they don't have access to specific process application. They'll not be able to either view or modify any of the applications. It goes vice versa as well. Say like a user granted access to the process application, but no access to the process center, they'll not be able to log into the process center or process designer. So they will not be able to either view or modify the application. So in this case, both the permissions are required, access to process center as well as the rights to manage these process applications. In some scenarios, we need to give only the view access to the users. Yes, it is possible to give read-only access for those type of users if they no need to edit or change the application. So how do we do that? Go to the process application link and manage tab. It shows like who is authorized to work on the application. So in this slide, we see the ADD user 8, which has read, write, and admin privilege to the process application because they are the creator of this application. One of the recommendations is to specify the absolute minimum number of individuals necessary to the job, to perform the job. User added here, but not in process center, they will, if we add a user, like user one here, and we are not including that in the process center, and when the user tries to log in using the user one authorization, they will receive an error, something like you are not authorized to use the process designer. So in that scenario, someone needs to log into the process center with the admin privilege and grant the new user rights to this particular user, the user one. So it's very easy to do it. In the process center, there's the admin tab, and it can be easily included. All right. So that's in detail how to provide access to these users. Let's move on to next slide. So this is again the continuation to the previous slide. So here in the process center, this is the main administrative application. This allows a user with full admin rights who has full admin rights in the to process center can grant a process designer access. This can be done on process center admin tab by adding appropriate user groups or groups. So this also allows deploying BPM process applications to the process server runtime, like multiple environments, so any environment. Process Center's admin tab also has the admin checkbox like we see here. It is easy to, assume the admin tab grants admin rights. It's a little bit confusing, but it is not. Unless this checkbox, admin checkbox is checked, they will not have the admin rights. So, again, the suggestion is, grant only the admin rights to required users, not for everyone. This is one of the things, many environment, they provide admin access, because that way it's easy for everyone to, the user to do all the operations, but that's not a recommended approach. In this case, there are two private groups. By default, they have access to Process Center, which is TW Admin and TW Author. So they'll have a default access to the Process Center. Let's move on to the next slide. Okay, so what are the common security holes in the authorization? So the first thing is overuse of the administrative privileges. We talked in the previous discussion, it is very easy to, give everyone the admin rights so they will not, run into any issues. They will be able to do all the operations. But that's not the right way to do. So whoever needed the admin privilege, just provide them the access. One other common thing is mapping the participant group appropriately. So a lot of times, presentation, we saw by default it will have the TW all users. But we had to make sure we are including the right members to the participant group. So when the task is it will be assigned to the appropriate people rather than to everyone or the unnecessary people. And overpopulation of groups. So in an organization, there is a requirement to create many groups and many users. So it is always, optimize all the requirement and create the groups accordingly. Overpopulating will cause more confusion rather than helping. Again, try to avoid using TW authors and TW admins. Faith in firewall. I'm going to talk about faith in firewall in upcoming slides as well. What it means is a lot of times, depending on the firewall, a lot of times there are security holes. For example, the firewall vendor releases the security patches periodically or once in a while. Make sure the firewall has is up to date and know the limitations of the firewall. Let's move on to the next slide. Okay, slide 17 we are on. What are the common security holes with the authentication? Okay, weak password policies. So make sure nobody is unwantedly attempting to access the system. So make sure the passwords are, well secured. Failure to change the default password. A lot of times, people have admin. So let's not have any default passwords. Have some complex keywords as a password. And faith in firewall, we talked about it. Insecure LDAP connections, insecure SSO solutions. Like Sridhar talked in earlier, LDAP LDAPs, like, so let's make sure we have a secure connections. All right, so let's move on to the next slide, slide 18. Okay, common security considerations. Firewalls have SSL between the BPM and the database, SSL between process center and the process server. So secure as much as possible and encrypt data at rest, change all the default BPM accounts, change trust in certificate authorities. So these are like some of the common considerations you may want to do in your environment. Okay, let's move on to the next slide. So let me turn this over to Sridhar to cover the Q&A. Sridhar, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Namo. So on slide 19, I have a few details on who can install to a process server. So this is the installation portion where when a snapshot, when your process application is ready and you're ready to install your snapshot to a process server, who can do this? And so basically there are three types of process servers. One is the development, the test, the development, staging, and production. So depending on the, these are called the environment types, and then depending on that environment type, who can install to a process server also changes. So if we look at the, so also, I mean, to clarify, there are two types of process servers also. One is the online servers which are visible and are ready to be deployed from the process admin console. I mean, so the deployment can be done directly from the process admin console. An offline server is one where, which probably is outside of a DMZ zone or something like that, or outside of firewall, where the process application can be exported and installed separately. So to start with, the first one, right? So at a process application level, there are three permissions that I think we looked at in the screenshot that Damo has presented before. There's admin privilege, write privilege, and read privileges. So any person who has a read privilege or above can deploy to a development process server. Any person or any user or who has the write privilege can deploy, at least write privilege, can deploy to or install to a test or staging environment. But for deploying to a production environment, only users who have the admin privilege for the process application can install to that production server. So also in the 100 custom .xml, we can specify the process central install group to be able to control which group can which group of the organization can install to that process center. Offline servers, similarly, the 100 custom the 100 custom .xml can be can have this this particular offline install group specified in that XML file, like the BPM installer, and that those installers only can install to the offline servers. Moving on to slide number 20. So this slide also, I mean, one of the other questions that customers have is like, how do you secure the portal functions to self users? Like, for example, to the reassigning the role or things like that. So again done through the 100 custom, and there's a tag where you can specify the action type for the portal and specify the role to make sure who can do this particular action. And the link below also has more information on the how do you secure the portal functions only to a set of users. Going on to slide number 21. So the password change and issues, like we talked about changing the default passwords and stuff. So the first link the Info Center link actually gives you the procedure that you can follow and follow step by step without any exception to make sure all of the steps are followed correctly and not missing anything. Because in this case, right, the passwords, with BPM, it's not just file-based repository. It's also the database which stores the passwords. So there's an internal security provider also involved in this case. So just changing something at the WAS admin console would not change the default passwords. So that's something that needs to be reminded of when changing passwords. So following the procedure as specified in the Info Center link would be useful. Also, in case of some of the cases where in DE2 installations, like there are some cases where every 3 months the passwords change for the database administrators. So if you are used database administrator as DB2 admin or any other DB admin, and that password has expired, you might need to check your J2C authentication aliases and change them accordingly. Also, there's one more, like if you run into issues, there's also couple of ways. One is you can also copy, there's an old password field in the, it's not recommended without help of the support functions, but I just wanted to put it out there that you can copy the old password field from the LSW user table, and that will you can replace it with the existing one. So even if you remember one of them, then maybe you can get back into the system. Also, you can you can use a SQL to update your existing passwords with a default, like a TW, like admin user password and things like that. Also, that's another workaround that can be good. Moving on to slide number 22. So the summary, right? So we talked about the architecture and the different components of BPM, like the LDAP, the WAS console, the process admin console, and how they interact with the BPM security component, and how the BPM database has a major role to play in the BPM security. We also talked a little bit about the Tivoli LDAP configuration within the WAS consoles, and IBM HTTP server configuration, which is also very commonly used. Also, we talked a lot about the, like Damu talked on a lot on the participant groups and the different access levels in terms of who can access the process designer, who can access the process center, who can access other things, and also how the application access changes different behaviors that you see within process designer. That probably summarizes the presentation today. We also had a few troubleshooting sections. On slide 23, we have a few useful links in terms of the developer works and the web spear events. Also, on the reference 6, if you look at the reference 6, we have the red book about BPM production topologies. That's a very good red book if anyone is implementing BPM at production level, and has quite a detail on different components of BPM. At slide and 24, I would like to turn it over back to David to conclude the presentation.
Thank you, Sridhar and Damu, for a great presentation. Slide 24 has some additional useful links. Before we get to the question and answer session, we would like to conduct a short poll. Four questions will appear in the web conference, and your responses are greatly appreciated. The first question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes what you think about this statement. The information presented today was useful to me. Strongly agree, neutral, disagree, or strongly disagree. I'll pause a few seconds to collect your responses. Thank you. Moving on to the second question. On a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes what you think about this statement. The material was well organized and clearly presented. Thank you. The third question is, did this call meet your training expectations, yes or no? And the last question today is, how did you hear about today's WSTE webcast? Thank you for your responses. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcast, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. Moving on to the Q&A session, I would like to remind you that for those of you who joined us via the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat. Precedence will be given to questions asked through the phone, and if time permits, we will also address questions in the group chat. At this time, Danielle, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Thank you. To ask a question at this time, please press star 1. You may withdraw your question by pressing star 2. Once again, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. One moment, please. And there are no questions at this time.
Okay, thank you, Danielle. I do have a few in the group chat, and I'll start with the first one that came in. And the question is, why is standalone LDAP configuration discouraged in BPM compared to federated repositories custom user registry?
This is Sridhar. So this is something I think we need to this is something that our development has gone through, they have done some study on this, and then they recommend federated repositories based on the design. But to understand, and that's a best practice as well. To give a complete detailed answer, we'll have to follow up with you on that one. This is Mahesh, right? I'll follow up with Mahesh on that.
Okay. And I'd also like to remind everyone that the presenters' email addresses are on the first slide of the presentation if you need to take an issue offline. The second question is, does offline server installation mean silent installation using XML files?
Right. So offline installation actually means, in this case with BPM, you export something called as a Twix file or TWX file. So that can be installed on the, to a, another offline process server. So the difference, I actually want to point the difference. So you can export a TWX file and install to a process server using offline technique. The online technique, you don't have to, because that's done internally, and process center and process server are interconnected. So I guess that probably is the difference there.
Okay, thanks. The next question is, and I see, Sridhar, that you've responded on a group chat. Can I remove all the local internal groups? And you've told this person, you can confirm that, but I would like to point out that we do not know this person's email address, so you will need to send Sridhar an email. And again, his email address is on the first slide of this presentation. Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to look. Here's a long question, it looks like. I have WASMD with BPM 7511 Federated Repositories LDAP File Registry. If I map LDAP users to BPM groups and BPM groups to participant roles, will users be authorized to use process if accessing it like using a URL like myhost.com execute service by name, or do I have to make authorization changes to the WAS ISC console to let the users in at all?
Hey, David, is that question in the chat or?
It was sent just to the Q&A group, not to everyone.
Oh.
Do you want me to repeat the question?
I didn't see the question. It's a pretty long question. But just to give an understanding, right, any LDAP group, so Process Admin Console allows you to add a group, right? And that group can have a set of LDAP groups.
I did post the question into the to everyone. If you want to read it, do you see it?
Yeah. I don't think you have to change anything that was, because the BPM groups you already have done the mapping of LDAP groups and users through the cross admin or the BPM groups. So you should be able to access those URLs.
Okay, thanks. Danielle, do we still not have any questions?
There are still no questions.
Okay, and I don't see any others in the group chat. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Sridhar and Damu, for presenting today.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.